Hare Krishna. The inner war is the bigger war. People new to the Bhagavad Gita often ask, does it endorse war? At one level, the Gita does indeed ask the virtuous to fight against the vicious. But that call is contextual. And those who read the context in the Bhagavad, in the Mahabharata, can easily see that the virtuous made all possible efforts to try to avoid war and to resolve the conflict by amicable, peaceful means. But the vicious were so obstinate, so stubborn, so arrogant that they absolutely refused to pay heed. And in the larger interests of society, in order to preserve order in society, the virtues were left with no alternative and had to choose war as a last recourse. So the Bhagavad Gita is not a blanket endorsement of war per se, even in the case of that specific historical war. The context shows that when it's unavoidable, war should be fought. But that is not the essential message of the Gita. At a more universal level, the Bhagavad Gita calls all of us to fight an inner war. The Bhagavad Gita talks about the war metaphor with respect to spiritual life, and it repeatedly uses war-related terminology. For example, in the third chapter, the Bhagavad Gita identifies lust as the inner enemy. In 3.37, Vidhyenamihvairinam kamesha krodesha rajogunasamudbhavah mahashano mahapapma vidhyenamihvairinam. It is lust only which later degenerates into anger and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. Then 2 verses later, avritam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurenanalena cha. The Gita says that our knowledge is covered by our eternal enemy in the form of lust, Nityavairina, which burns like fire and which is never satisfied. And then again, in 3.43, evam buddhe param buddhva samsthavyatmanam atmanah yahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. But the Bhagavad Gita says that in this way, with intelligence, by deliberate intelligence, by spiritual strength, situate yourself on the spiritual platform and thereby conquer this formidable enemy in the form of lust. So, the Bhagavad Gita, in the war metaphor, identifies lust as the enemy. Then it uses the metaphor further to talk about weapons. When you're fighting, just don't go unarmed. So, what are the weapons? In 4.42, it says knowledge is the weapon. Tasmad jnana sambhutam ritstham jnana sina atmanah chitvainam samshayam yogam atishto tishti bharata. Smad agyana sambhutam. Therefore, that which has been born out of ignorance, agyana sambhutam. Ritstham, that ignorance which has been born in the heart, jnana sina atmanah, with the sword of knowledge, chitva, destroy that ignorance with the sword of knowledge. Chitvainam samshayam yogam asamshayam, become free from doubt. And perform yoga. Atishto tishti bharata. So, Krishna says that the practice of yoga with knowledge is actually the weapon. Then later on, again in 15th chapter, asanga shastrena drudhena chitva narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto na chadena cha sampatishta ashvanthamenam suvirudha moolam asanga shastrena drudhena chitva. The Bhagavad Gita says that it is talking metaphorically about a banyan tree, comparing it to material existence, and the soul are trapped in the material existence. So, use a weapon, the axe, to cut off our entanglement in the tree. So, there, that axe is detachment. So, knowledge and detachment are considered to be the weapons. And then Krishna says this battle is very difficult. The most important aspect of the strategy is not just to have the weapons, but to have the surrender. Daiviyaisha gunamai mamamaya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante mayame tam tarantite. Now says that You surrender unto me, then you will be able to cross over this formidable illusory energy. So in this way, the Bhagavad Gita repeatedly uses the war metaphor and urges us to fight the inner war. And if we look at the overall message of the Gita, then it emphasizes the inner war far more than the outer war. The inner war is bigger, far more consequential in terms of both material effectiveness and spiritual productiveness. Material effectiveness means that if there is a war, and even if the virtues win over the vicious, that alone won't establish peace, because other vicious people will arise and they will start doing oppression, they'll start disrupting the social order, and thereby they will require assertive, even violent disciplinary action. So war will be required. So then what is the way to minimize war? It is that not that we just overpower the vicious, but it is by we in general empower people to overpower vice within their hearts. And that happens by sharing the empowering knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita itself very strongly and warmly recommends this in 18.68 and 69. Those who share this message are very dear, and for them the highest spiritual results are guaranteed, the Bhagavad Gita describes. So when more and more people are empowered by spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice, then they will be able to fight with vice in their hearts, and they are less likely to succumb to it. And then when they don't succumb to vice, they won't act viciously, and then to correct them, war will not be required. So that way, from the material effectiveness point of view, the inner war is the bigger war. And similarly, from the spiritual productiveness point of view, ultimately, if you want to be free from war, this world, there will always be vicious, and there will always be wars to either caused by the vicious who want to expand their power, or even wars caused by the virtuous to curb the power of the vicious. If you want to go beyond war, then we have to go to the spiritual world, Krishna's abode, which is forever free from all wars. That is the abode of eternal ecstasy, the ecstasy of pure divine love. And by fighting the inner war determinedly, we will become free from vice, and we will imbibe the topmost virtue of pure devotion to Krishna. And by attaining victory in this war, by developing pure love for Krishna, we will ultimately attain Krishna's abode. That is the supreme victory. Additionally, this fighting of the inner war will enable us to connect with Krishna even while we are in this material world. And a connection with Krishna will give us inner peace, inner strength, inner sanctuary. And that inner sanctuary will help us to tolerate and transcend various material miseries, even the misery of war. That's how, in terms of the effectiveness and the productiveness, the inner war is the bigger war. Thank you. Hare Krishna.